Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Michael Smith. Michael's the Chief Information Officer of Estee Lauder, an $11.8 billion manufacturer of fragrance, skincare, and makeup products. As CIO, Michael leads the technology function for the company and is focused on innovation and growth. Since joining in 2017, Michael's increased the company's agility by transitioning the functional strategy from being technology-focused to being focused on the business units, consumers, and the markets that the company serves. He joined Estee Lauder after a one-year sabbatical, something he discusses in this interview. Prior to that, he was the CIO of Mylan and an IT executive at Nike for over two decades. In this interview, Michael stresses the importance of talent and culture. On the talent side, Michael's brought in business leadership from several Fortune 500 companies, and he's helped open a new technology hub in Long Island City, New York, which is part of a two-campus model in New York that is formed after consolidating down from nine locations. Michael notes that the culture is Estee Lauder's number one asset. We also discussed how consumer expectations will change as technology evolves, the benefits Michael gets from being a consumer of his own products, and a variety of other topics.
Michael Smith, thank you so much for joining me today. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Great to see you again.
Nice to see you as well. Great to spend time with you as always. I thought we'd begin, Michael, with your current role. Since the summer of 2017, you have been the CIO of Estee Lauder. And I wonder if you could take a moment to kind of describe the role of CIO in an organization like this and thus your purview.
Yeah. Well, first thing I would say is it's been a fantastic year. It's just it's a great place to be. It's a great company, great people to work with. You know, my role as CIO is, as most CIOs, is to lead the technology function for the company. And really be focused on growth and innovation.
And when you joined the company, can you describe sort of the mandate you had and the team you found and some of the changes that were necessary in those early days?
Yes, I'm fortunate. I inherited a strong leadership team and the broader IT organization, also very strong. And you know, the way that I describe it is, we built a launch pad. We built this strong foundation, and everything we've accomplished, everything we're going to accomplish, is because of that team. And I just feel very fortunate to work with this team. And you know, the group of people that were here before I got here, and the group of people that have come on since, is just an amazing group of people, and it makes the work enjoyable. And you know, my mandate really has been now to build and pilot the rocket off of that launch pad. So we're really focused on, you know, enabling growth, enabling agility to respond to consumer needs. And that's really been my mandate.
Can you talk a bit about some of the ways in which you enable that growth and in the role that digital plays? I know you're in the throes of a digital transformation as well, as you think about internal as well as external experience, customer and employee experience.
Yeah. You know, I try not to use the word transformation, actually, digital transformation, actually, just because it means so many different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really what we're focused on is making sure that we're taking advantage of, you know, all the technologies, whether it's emerging technologies or it's well-established technologies, to drive a better consumer experience and do all the things that are required to enable growth. And so that's really investing across the full spectrum of our business.
Are there other aspects of your strategy that you could share?
Well, you know, from a functional strategy standpoint, one of the most significant things that we've done is we've reorganized from being focused around technology to being focused around our business units, around the consumers and markets that we serve, so that we're more responsive, you know, we're just closer to our business. And that's probably one of the most significant things that we've done. We've changed our operating model. We've brought in while I inherited great talent, we brought in a tremendous amount of IT and business leadership from a number of different Fortune 500 companies. I feel like we're really strengthening the team even more as we continue to grow. And one of the things that I'm most proud of is we actually opened a new technology hub, consolidating to a two-campus model here in the New York area, going from 9 different locations to 2. But we've created this new technology hub over in Long Island City, opened this week, fantastic space. It's this, I describe it as this kind of beautiful merging of prestige beauty and tech. And, you know, the space is, it's open, it's designed for innovation, collaboration, and it's just to create a great place to work for people.
That's really great. And what were some of the inspirations behind that? Is it to be sort of an innovation lab, a place to test new ideas? What's the purview of that organization?
Well, I would say as a team, we're obviously a global team, and roughly half of our technology employees are in the New York area. A lot of it is just to get us into 2 locations and get us close to our business partners. So we've been spread out. Today, we now have a 2-campus model with a number of people out in Melville near our distribution, R&D, administrative services. And then we have here in Long Island City, just 2 subway stops away from where we're sitting right now, the rest of our team. And so some of it is about getting closer to the business. Some of it is about collaborating in a very different way. And yes, we've created innovation labs and retail labs and analytics labs and things of that nature in the building. But it is about overall technology delivery.
That's really great. And from a people perspective, were new roles created as a result of this? Are there individuals who are aligned with the different parts of the business as well?
I would say that we've probably created a few new roles. Certainly refocused where people work. And so if you describe that as new roles, then yes.
Interesting. And from a process perspective, were there process changes that were necessary? I could see in the way that you described being closer to the business, perhaps more of an iterative approach that might be necessary as a result of that. Are you using agile practices to a greater extent, that sort of thing?
Yes. Quite a few changes from a process standpoint. The biggest is moving from a completely waterfall approach to much more agile. And as you know, that's a journey. You don't just flip a switch and go, but we're in that process of moving to agile methods. We're moving to a products and platforms approach, and where we're breaking down that silo between applications and infrastructure and really embracing DevOps as a much more effective and responsive way to work. At the end of the day, it's about how fast can we bring value to our business? And, you know, the consumer expectations change rapidly. We need to be able to respond to that. And that's really what these changes are about.
Interesting. And prior to your time at Estee Lauder, you were the CIO of Mylan in Pittsburgh, a long-time IT executive at Nike in Oregon prior to that. So very different set of experiences than the one that you now have. And I'm curious, what attracted you to this opportunity?
Oh, quite a few things. I love consumer-driven businesses. I love companies that have innovation at their DNA. That's here. The culture here attracted me. The leadership. When you look at our chief executive officer, Fabrizio Freda, and our chief financial officer, Tracy Travis, who I happen to report to, fantastic visionaries, great leaders, the type of people that you want to work alongside.
That's wonderful. You mentioned culture as a selling point for the organization. That makes an awful lot of sense. So what are some of the ways in which you describe the culture here?
You know, a lot of companies talk about employees being their number one asset, but not all of them walk the talk. And this company walks the talk. Our employees are our number one asset. We are a company that is focused on the consumer. We're a company committed to innovation, really, you're seeing the results of that, right? You see the results in our business and how we continue to grow. You know, I fundamentally believe that culture is the ultimate starting point, and you're not going to be successful without the right culture. And when you look at the track record of this company and where we believe we're going, I think that proves out.
That's great. Prior to taking on your current role, you did something quite unusual. You took a year-long sabbatical in between your role as CIO of Mylan and now your role here at Estee Lauder. And I wonder if you could reflect a moment, maybe share some of the reasons why you thought to do so and the advantages of having done so in the middle of your career.
In my almost 4 years at Mylan, I was based in Pittsburgh. My family was in Portland, Oregon, and I was commuting back and forth. And you know, I was fortunate that I didn't miss a lot of events of my kids. But when I did, the few times I did, I would say, well, there'll be another opportunity, another football game, another wrestling match, another soccer match, whatever was going on. And I was back one weekend watching my son wrestle in the regionals. My oldest son, he was a junior in high school, and he upset the number one seed and actually qualified for state. And I think anyone that's, you know, experienced the joy that comes with watching your kids exceed even their own expectations, it's pretty amazing feeling. But for me, it was that almost as quickly as that joy kind of rose up, I realized that when he wrestled in state the next week, that I wouldn't be able to be there, and for a number of reasons. And you know, all of a sudden there wasn't guaranteed a next time, and so I decided at that point I needed to take a sabbatical to just really kind of leap into this year and invest myself in him and getting him ready for college. And you know, it was a fantastic special year, you know, but I wanted to stay engaged, and not, you know, I miss the work. And so I want to stay engaged. So I joined some advisory boards, for technology and pharmaceutical companies. I, did a little bit of consulting, spoke at some conferences, and, you know, I think the big advantage for me was, while I had the flexibility to be with my family, just the opportunity to advise CEOs and their strategy, everything from go-to-market to product to talent, it just gives you a different perspective.
That's great. I appreciate you sharing that story. I wanted to also ask you, as you look to the future, say 2 or 3 years out, what are some technologies that particularly excite you? What are some of the things you and your team are investigating?
Yeah. Well, the most exciting thing when I look out is how our ability to serve the consumer is going to evolve. As technologies, whether it's analytics or artificial intelligence or whatever it is, starts to mature and we find opportunities to apply that, I think the service of the consumer and what a consumer can expect from a brand, from a company, is going to change dramatically and evolve dramatically. And I'm excited about those possibilities, both as somebody that can be pushing the leading edge on that, but also as a consumer myself. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and actually, to that very point, I wonder if you could reflect just one moment more. In the companies that you've been a part of, in multiple cases anyway, you've been able to be, and your team for that matter, consumers of your own products. And you know, you can understand some esoteric B2B company that makes missiles or something like that. It's not likely that the employees are buying those missiles, let's say. Whereas you have the advantage of seeing the product, trying it, sort of experiencing it, and weighing in presumably as well. And I wonder if you could just reflect a little bit on the advantages as an IT leader of that degree of accessibility for you and for your team.
You know, I think that I am motivated. I am motivated by the ability to be a consumer. You want to work for a company. At least I want to work for a company where I can also be a part of it. And, you know, it's the fact that you can participate in the consumer experience, I think, does provide insights. And there's a degree of, it's really about empathy at the end of the day, it's about empathy. And I think we're innovation starts with empathy. And whether we're empathizing and putting ourselves in the shoes of somebody in supply chain or HR or a retail associate, you know, a beauty advisor on the floor, that's really where we have to understand those needs in a very personal way to be able to meet them to the fullest.
That's great. Well, Michael Smith, thank you so much for joining us. Great to get your perspectives, and it's been a great conversation.
Yeah, great. Thank you for having me, and look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Sharif Midyas, the Chief Experience Officer of TGI Fridays. Thank you.